Good evening. I hope you can hear me loud and clear. All right. I want to thank Pastor and Pastor Steven. I want to thank Dr. Lewis, Dr. Pete, Dr. Bradley, and all of you, Landmark Baptist Church, for the investment you have put in us. And I was saved at the age of 18 back in Ghana. I was led to the Lord by a missionary. And 3 years after that, I was called to preach. And so I've been preaching down in Ghana, and I had a little training there, so I pastored a church for some few years. But I realized there's a need for more training, and so I came over here in 2001, and most of you know the story. We went through the training here. Mrs. Lewis will tell you some of the rest of the story. And Dr. Harvey is here. Most of you are here, and some of you don't know me, seeing me for the first time. But it's been a good time working the radio station, at the truck stop, and almost everywhere in Haines City. But I thank the Lord for the training that I had here. And in 2004, I graduated from Landmark Baptist College. And I always have a burden for my people and to start churches, to plant churches down there. And so after the training here, I stay around for 2 more years. And then in 2007, I went home to start a ministry over there. And we'll be doing that since 2007 till now. There's a video, so I want to show the video first. And then if you get more questions, then we can answer the questions for you. So this is just a little bit about me. And if you want to know more about me, you can see Mrs. Lewis or Dr. Lewis or Dr. Bradley or Dr. Pete has all my story. If you see him, he will tell you everything about me and all the good people around here. So we'll watch the video first, and then I'll answer the questions if you have something. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go down where I can see it.
I left the U.S. with a burden for Ghana, a desire to plant churches throughout the regions and to establish a Bible college to train the brethren with a belief that, as a Ghanaian, I have a greater understanding of my people and their potentials as servants of God. As I told you before, I believe that the effective way to reach Ghana is to plant churches that will become autonomous and mission-hearted. With your support and prayers, this is how far we have come in 4 years by the grace of God. Shortly upon arrival, my brother Theo and I started passing out flyers and tracts until the middle of November when 4 young men got saved. Hallelujah. I visited them again and again and started discipling them, which eventually led to a Bible study group with 6 young men in the neighborhood. Some others joined the study group, and that continued until December 31st, 2007. The 31st Watch Night service marked our first organized service in a little store at our apartment. The Lord blessed that service with 15 people in attendance. Sunday, January 6, 2008, was our first Sunday service with 21 in attendance. We continued in a store until the end of February, when we had to move out because the store could no longer accommodate the growing numbers. We had located a couple of places around to use, but we were not successful. Since we outgrew the store, we were compelled to erect canopies on the compound of our apartment to use till August 2008, when the Lord provided our current meeting place. It was an abandoned private housing project only 2 plots away from our apartment, covered with weeds. With some little financial help available, The young men helped clear the site, and a shelter was put up. This is where we have been meeting for both morning and evening worship services since August 2008. The first year, 2008, ended with some fruitfulness, for which we are grateful to God and to you all for your fervent prayers and timely financial support. We ended the year with about 50 professions and 12 families. The children's service was running an average of 35 on Sundays, and the adults numbered about 30, and we have 8 for baptism. Praise the Lord. One remarkable blessing in that first year was the coming into contact with a young lady then called Pearl Kumache. After dating for some 8 months, the Lord led us into a holy matrimony on August 2nd, 2008. The atmosphere of our home was changed with the arrival of our first son on July 8, 2010. It's been a very great delight watching Kaden Nate Kwao Ajabe grow from a little tiny baby into a vibrant, energetic little boy. By the kind mercies of God, we are expecting a second baby in August 2012. Thus far, the Lord has graciously rewarded our visitation and soul winning programs with about 150 professions of faith in Jesus Christ. This has culminated into a total of 45 people being baptized in 6 batches. Gratefully, a good number of these brethren are still in church and are growing in the Lord. Currently, we run an average attendance of 55 adults, with 90 as our highest point. We have about 45 regular kids in our Sunday school, but which can get as high as 75 on special occasions. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, we shall be able to teach others also. In pursuant of this text, I presently have 5 faithful men in a church whom I am mentoring and training for various leadership and teaching roles. I also help in training men for the ministry at the Good News Theological Seminary in a nearby community. With the affiliation of Landmark Baptist College in Florida, we have also started the Crossmark Baptist College in 2010, which presently has 15 students. We run a vacation Bible school each year for children in the church and community, not only at Crossmark, but also at my former church, New Testament Baptist Church, at Manya, Pumuna. For the past 3 years, with the help of some colleague pastors and Dr. Haig at one time, we have ministered to over 700 children through the VBS ministry. On every Friday, when schools are in session, a colleague and I run a Bible club for school children. Hope Bible Clubs, as we call it, has the objective of reaching children young for Christ and growing them in the things of God. Presently, we operate Hope Bible Clubs in 4 elementary and junior high schools at 2 centers. Through this endeavor, we minister to over 250 children every week, many of who have now professed faith in Jesus Christ and are growing in the faith. We thank God for His provisions, protection, and for the many opportunities to continue in His service in Ghana. We are grateful to you all for your prayers and support, which enabled us to continue serving the Lord. Future projects. Looking forward to the future, we are praying to put up a permanent church building and another building to house the Bible College and an elementary school for the children of the community. Gratefully, the Lord has now provided a 200 by 100 feet plot of land at the cost of $12,000 through Dr. Haig. Jesus Christ Baptist Church at Mississippi was very helpful in providing much of that amount to pay off the cost of the land. Presently, a smaller building is about 70% complete to house the church, while we raise funds to put up a bigger auditorium. About $10,000 will be needed to complete that. Both the bigger church auditorium and the school complex buildings are estimated to cost some $600,000. We look forward to reaching out to other communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but this will mean training more faithful men and supporting them financially to lead these churches. Several members of our congregation walk in from far places and get to church tired and late. I used to carry some at the back of my pickup, but I do not have it anymore. And a van we recently acquired seems too old to be reliable for that job. Our prayer is to acquire at least two vans for the use of the school and the church. Challenges and needs. Since our present meeting place is not enclosed, it is difficult to hold services when it is raining. The prayer is that the Lord provides the needed funds in time to complete the small auditorium on our new site to move in. With the addition of Kaden and the little one on the way, the family budget has gone very high, rendering our present financial support insufficient. The several ministry responsibilities also overstretch our present support. Presently, we do all the ministry rounds on public and commercial transport, which are not very reliable. Sometimes one can be in a queue waiting for over an hour to catch a bus. If we have 100 churches and individuals supporting us with $1,200 a year or $200 a month for the next 5 years, we should be able to complete the bigger auditorium and the school complex. We thank all members and pastors of Crossroads Baptist Church, as well as all our supporting churches and the individuals, for all your support, which has brought us so far. We look forward to and pray God enables you to continue and do more. Won't you consider supporting an indigent who knows and understands the people, the culture, and the terrain to continue to reach many with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Thank you for supporting with prayer, material, and money. This is Jonathan and Pearl Ajaben, your missionaries to Ghana, West Africa.
Okay, we'll get the lights on. Sometimes you see the functions of the college around here and see our students, and you might wonder what happens to them after they leave. Well, here's a good example. We're so proud of Jonathan and the work God's had him doing. I'm going to say just a few things and then ask him just a few questions. In the tape room, go ahead and make this mic over here live for me, and I'll get on both mics with him in just a moment. Did you pick up on the fact that he is getting into the what we would call the public schools, getting Bible clubs and getting those kids saved? Did you pick up on that in the film? That's tremendous. There are some Christian schools over there, but he tells me they use about the same or use the very same curriculum as what we would call the public schools. So he's hoping to introduce Landmark curriculum into his Christian school. And that's part of the reason he's here now. And Jonathan, I have a little problem getting every word, but he speaks four languages. Jonathan is capable of doing the job in the territory that he's at. and went back, basically back home, some 50 miles, I think, from his home church over there. But God just used him in a tremendous, tremendous way. And I'm going to ask him just a few questions. Jonathan, you step on up to this mic. I'll take that one. Basically, you saw in the pictures there the unfinished building. He tells me right now it's rainy season, and they meet in church with no roof. And I just wonder how many I'd have show up under those conditions, and yet they're still having church. And they're getting folks saved and baptized like you saw right there. And doing it under what you and I would think could be tough circumstances, and yet he's gone back over there with enthusiasm and soul winning and getting the gospel out and getting the job done. And we're just real proud of him. Jonathan, tell us how many students are you running in your Christian school, and then tell us about it and the college both.
Yeah, right now we have about 50 in our Bible college, and we minister in 4 public schools every week with Bible clubs. So that's what we're doing right now.
Okay, and you're getting curriculum to go back for your Christian school
to start the elementary Christian school for them.
Did you notice too, he's starting a Landmark Baptist College? Did you see that? Did you pick up on that in the film? Now, I don't know if he's naming it that for sure, but that's his inspiration, is to duplicate there what he had over here and what he was exposed to over here. I say this about Jonathan. When he was with us, he was a hard worker, very hard worker in every way, college way, radio station. And he'd get out there and do the hard physical work with us also. And personally, I have a lot of respect for a guy that'll get out and do that. He don't think he's too good for it. And Jonathan certainly fit that bill so well. And I was glad to see he got married there too. That's tremendous. Got a beautiful bride and one on the way. Did I get that right? Okay, that's great. Amen. The building I saw there, you started up with it. It's still got the grass and it's missing the roof, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And he's got some big dreams. Did you see those drawings?
Yes.
And that's altogether possible. It certainly is. And we praise the Lord for his testimony. Jonathan is going to speak to us tonight. He's going to give us a little Bible message. It'll be short, 10 or 15 minutes at the most. And he told me he did most of his preaching in English over there because, as we know, God is making English a universal religion, language in so many places. Religions, regions, whatever, English is still important. And it's an open door sometime to get in the public schools over there to teach English. And so Jonathan is able to do those things. And so we want him to go ahead and speak to us a little bit. And we might have a few minutes at the end for you to have a question. And if so, we'll try to get Jonathan to answer it. But we're certainly proud of him as a Landmark College graduate. Amen. Jonathan, go ahead as the Lord leads you here.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We had a little storm today, so I'll preach on a storm. So let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And it's a familiar story. I think most of us who have been reading our Bibles are familiar with that story. But Jesus Christ and his disciples were on the other side of the sea. They were working. He has called them. He was teaching them, and they felt very comfortable over there. I think the people are beginning to respect them. Jesus has done some miracles. Jesus used them to do a lot of things. So the people are beginning to feel comfortable over there. And then Jesus sent the crowd that were doing respect and doing all those things away and asked them to get in a boat to go to the other side. And I was reading that passage, and I kind of compared it to what happened around here. And when you come to Landmark, and pastor will tell you, sometimes pastor will take you to the house, and Dr. Louise and Dr. Harvey's and all the good people here, they kind of make you feel comfortable and make you feel at home. Then comes graduation. Then you are asked to go, and you feel like you don't want to go to the other side of the sea. But Jesus observed his disciples, and I think he realized that if he leave them over there at the other side, they probably might be sleeping, not doing anything, because they feel so comfortable. So he asked them to go over to the other side. But on their way to the other side in the boat, even though Jesus was with them, they had a little problem. There was a storm. I'm sure Peter would have been saying, "I told you, Jesus, we should have stayed at the other side." And all the other disciples would have been thinking some things. They say, "What if we die? What if this boat capsized? What would have happened? Jesus, you know these people were over there. We have plenty of people there. We get work scholarship here. We get everything here to do. Why should we leave and go to the other side? And what do we go and do there?" But Jesus was there, and he seems not to be doing anything about the storm. And he was the one who asked them to go to the other side. They were having a problem, and he was asleep. And the disciples, like all of us, instead of going back to the one who gave them the assignment, they were trying their own thing. They wanted to do their own thing. When you are in college, you want to sign in and sign out and make sure you come in at the 11th hour. When you are asked to do something, you want to do it your own way. When you are given the assignment, you want to wait to the end of the semester before you start. And sometimes, even in our lives, not even as college students, we want to procrastinate, we want to do all kinds of things. But we have a master, we have a savior, we have somebody who gave his life for us. And we ought to live for that person. Amen. But majority of the time, we try to live our own life, we try to do our own thing. And back home, you see the trucks, they like to write things on the cars. And there was one that I saw that it made me think all the time. It says, "If all fails, try Jesus." So, and that is the way we kind of try to live our lives. We try to do all kinds of things. When it fails, then we want to try Jesus. But rather, we should go to Jesus first, so that he will lead us. He will show us what to do. He will teach us the way. And so the disciples, they were trying to do their own thing, just as we also try to do our own thing some of the time. But Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." Some of us, we think we have experienced everything that we have to experience as Christians. So long as you are alive, I get good news for you. You have not experienced everything yet. There are some things that are ahead of you that you don't know yet. And you don't know what will happen tomorrow. But in case you find yourself in a storm going to the other side with Jesus Christ, I got three things for you that you need to do. When you find yourself in a storm going to the other side with Jesus, the first thing you need to do is to acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge that Jesus is with you in the storm. He was with the disciples in the boat, But they forgot. They couldn't acknowledge that he was with them. And so they were doing their own thing. A majority of the time, when we fail to acknowledge the presence of Jesus in our life, that is what makes us run up and down and do all those things that we do. So when you find yourself in any kind of storm, remember, with Jesus in the boat, I can smile in the storm. Remember his presence, acknowledge his presence, and remember that Jesus is with you in the boat. I don't know what you are going through, as Pastor was mentioning the prayer list. So many people on the prayer list, so many people are sick, so many people have lost their loved ones, so many people are going through a lot of things. And sometimes you want to ask, where is Jesus when we hurt? Where is Jesus when we go through all these things? But I want to tell you tonight that if you are a child of God, he's with you in the storm. And if you acknowledge his presence, it will do you a lot of good. It will calm you down. It will help you to relax. Majority of the time, it's hard when we are going through things. I can imagine what was happening in the boat that night. It was not even day, it was night. And the disciples couldn't see anything. All they could see was the sea. And the sea has no hand to help you. When you fall in it, you have to know how to swim. And if you don't know how to swim, then that is the end of you. And the people will be saying all kinds of things. Like the various illness that we have today, cancer, whatever, and all these things. Some of them, when they come, even the doctors and the people, they tell you, they look at you, they tell you, go home and die. But with Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. So whenever you find yourself in any kind of storm or any kind of thing that you are going through, whether it's college, whether it's high school, whether it's whatever you are doing, acknowledge that Jesus is in the boat with you. And you cannot go wrong with Jesus in your boat. The second thing I've seen here in the passage is that if you want Jesus to do something about your storm, allow him to speak to your storm. Allow Jesus to speak to your storm. You don't only acknowledge Jesus' presence, you acknowledge his presence and allow him to speak. We have all kinds of things speaking today. The TV is speaking, the president is speaking, and he has spoken, and we get the movies speaking to us, and we get all kinds of things speaking to us. And we're listening to all those things that are speaking to us. But instead, we ought to listen to what Jesus has to say. I've seen a T-shirt. Somebody was wearing a T-shirt. It said, WWJD, what will Jesus do? If Jesus found himself in the situation that I found myself in this morning, or today, what will he do? Allow Jesus to speak to your storm. The disciples, after doing all that they want to do, I'm sure they tried to stop the storm. They couldn't do anything. Now, finally, they had to go and wake Jesus up. And when they woke him up, the Bible says he just spoke, and the storm calmed down. He didn't do anything. He just said, be still. And the storm, all the problem that they were having, stop. Allow Jesus to get into your boat and speak to your storm. Jesus can speak to your illness. Jesus can speak to your difficulties. And if you are not saved and you are here this evening, you are in the right place. Allow Jesus to speak to you, because without him, you can do nothing. And people are trying on their own to get to heaven. People are trying to do all kinds of things, but they fail to allow Jesus to speak to their storm. I don't know where you are in life this evening, but I want to tell you that you can go to the other side with Jesus. Wherever Jesus has for you, some of you have been around here for a long time. I can see my boss, Ricky, here this evening. I work with him in the truck stop, and he has been coming to church, I mean, every Wednesday, no matter how busy we were in the truck stop, he comes to church. And some of you have been around for a long time and have been doing maybe the same thing over and over and have gone, some have gone and have come back. But going to the other side with Jesus is not easy, because as we all sit down here, we feel comfortable. You watch some of the videos, sometimes when it rains, we get beaten by the rain. After sitting in a church like Landmark for 4 years, from 2001 to 2004, air conditioning, light every time and everything, you get to go over there and fight the mosquitoes, fight the rain and all that. And it's not comfortable. I mean, some of you won't go to that church over there because you can't go there. But with Jesus, who is speaking to us in the storm, we get people coming, we're reaching souls for Christ. And you may not have to go outside America for Jesus to take you to the other side. You can be in this church, Jesus can take you to the other side, maybe from the high school to the college, from college to the elementary school. But wherever he is taking you, first of all, acknowledge that he is with you. Acknowledge his presence and let him speak to you. And finally, tonight, if you want to go to the other side with Jesus, accept your present condition. Accept your present condition. You are not saved tonight. Accept that you are not saved, and you cannot save yourself, and Jesus will save you. You are sick tonight. Accept that you are sick, and you cannot heal yourself, but Jesus can heal you. You are going through something tonight. Don't deny it. You know, majority of the time, we try to live in denial. We are going through something, and we want to pretend we are strong. We want to pretend nothing is happening. Accept your present condition. When you accept your present condition, then you act in faith. You go to Jesus. The disciples, if you look at the story we are looking at in Mark chapter 4, after trying and trying and trying and trying, they came to a realization that they can't do anything. So they accepted their condition. So they looked for Jesus and went to wake him up. And when they were going, instead of going humbly, they said, but didn't you care that we are perishing? And sometimes that's what we do. I serve you, I do this for you, and you don't care that I'm going through these things. Yes, he knows, but you have to accept your conditions and go to him in faith so that he can help you. We have God on our side. Pastor, I listened to Pastor for 4 years, and I used to work in a radio station, so I don't come to church. I was the one who do the Sunday morning service on radio. Since I've been here, I've been broadcasting the Sunday morning. So I had to be in a radio station. But I listened to the sermon, and I heard Pastor say some of the same thing over and over and over and over. And I get asked some of those questions. When I got there and I started the church, right now, over in Ghana, we are fighting the charismatics and the Muslims. Frankly, Graham came over there just 2 months ago, and the money they came to spend, I mean, millions of dollars, and they didn't preach anything. They just came to do those healing things, and that is what is getting our people now. And somebody said, if you are not coming to start a charismatic church, forget it. Nobody will come. I said, we'll see what God will do. And that person, I'm sure he's revising his notes right now because people are coming. And when we wanted to buy that plot, and I went to the architect and gave him that drawing to draw for us, they said, you can't do this in Ghana. I said, with God, all things are possible. And so I know God is with us, and he will help us through. But in spite of all these things that we talk about tonight, I want to leave you with these three things that I talk about. that any time you find yourself in a storm, acknowledge the presence of Jesus, let him speak to your storm, and accept your condition, and act in faith. I want to thank Pastor again for the opportunity. Thank all of you, Landmark Baptist Church, for your investment. Pastor said he has some questions and maybe questions from the church for me. And so I'm going to take that. Amen.
Good job. Good job. Amen. That's some good preaching from the scripture. Amen. Might be you got a storm you're dealing with right now and you forgot that Jesus is in the boat with you. Amen. Okay, I tell you what, I want the ushers to come forward, and I want to just take up an offering for Jonathan tonight. He didn't know I was going to do this, and the Lord just impressed me to do it. Just whatever we can, every one of us do whatever we can. I know it's spur of the moment, and I know the crowd's down here on Wednesday night with the rain and folks gone, but still, let's help him out some. We support Jonathan some by the month. And the recession and the tightness has hit us like it has everybody else. But it won't, what we won't miss too much tonight could be a real blessing to him. And so I just challenge you, let's do that, ushers. If you just come right on down and just have whatever part in it that you can have tonight. And we'll ask the bookkeeper to collect it up, and probably the best thing for us to do is to give a check, one check, and let it come through the mission efforts of the church like we do. And Jonathan, do you have, you mentioned there, you some of the religious stuff, including the Muslims, are you having much persecution from them? Is there, the danger is increasing in America now. In fact, I heard it announced. I didn't get to listen to it today all the way on the radio station, but Attorney Gibbs, CLA, is warning about the militant homosexuals now beginning to attack and cause trouble with the churches. It's been by the grace of God that we haven't had some kind of scene like that. And also with Islam. Are they giving you that kind of problem over there?
No, they don't persecute us, but they're using a lot of money because of the poverty of our people. They come with money. I mean, right now, Saudi Arabia is sponsoring mosques in every city in Ghana. And so they are building these nice mosques, and they give the people a little money. So they go there, and that is how they are getting them. They are using money.
So they come over and build a beautiful mosque and use the money to entice the people.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah, that's some of our gasoline money we're sending over to Saudi Arabia. They're doing that with, amen. Anyway, somebody out there have a quick question. Time is just about two more minutes here. Anybody have a question that they can articulate real good, Brother David? The one that you got started that needs a roof, how much more is that going to take?
We need about 10,000 to do that.
Yeah, I believe they're getting a little more mileage out of the money over there than we are here, sounds like. Anybody else have a quick one? Okay. Jonathan, we're going to be asking the folks to pray for you.
Okay.
And we want to help every way we can. Right now we're trying to help out some with curriculum and that sort of thing. And Jonathan's gonna be around a little while with us. He's hoping to get back into some other churches because they do need help to do what they're doing. But they are reaching souls, and they're not only reaching them, but they're teaching them after they reach them. And then if that little Bible college, I think you said you had 15 students in it?
Yes, sir, 15.
That'd be great, man. I mean, here they are learning the Word of God, and they're learning the truth, and they're going to get out there and go to work with it. All right, Jonathan, we appreciate you being with us tonight very, very much. And we praise God for what you're doing. And he mentioned Brother Parton there a while ago. He was a faithful worker out at the truck stop back in those days. And he's around here. That's good. That's good. And that's exactly my sentiments. I saw that work ethic here in the college, Brother Parton. And even out at my house, I brought him out there a few times. Remember the storms tore us up and all that stuff. And Jonathan would go out there and work. And I remember one time he and I was out there working, and we were trying to clean out a great big mess of weeds and palmettos. And I said to him, "Jonathan, there could be a snake in there. Let's be careful." He said, "Don't fear the snake." And I kept on kind of questioning him why. He said, "If we'll make a racket on this end, he'll go out the other end." Taught me something. I didn't know if I trusted it all the way, but he was a blessing when he was here. And he does have to use other languages over there, but he is doing a lot of preaching in English over there to him. All right. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Now, Brother Cruz, you want in choir practice tonight. All right. Getting ready for Sunday. Okay. All right. Jonathan, I'll ask you, if you will, step down here and let the folks come by and shake hands with you tonight. I think they'd like to do that. It's so good to have you back with us and see you again, and so good to see what God is using you to do. Father, thank you for blessing our hearts and speaking to us. And Lord, we do ask your blessing now on Jonathan and on his wife and family and on his people over there. And Lord, like he says, there's nothing too hard for you. And dear God, we need exactly what he's doing around this world. We need churches started, and we need converts being discipled. And we thank you that's happening under his ministry. Thank you, Father, we can have a part in it. And may your blessings be on him now.